texts 16 and 17. Sabacha Tvara Ratyabir Akrida Yata Napanai Chayat Vajapata Kabir Yuktam Vidruma Vidivi. In that city, there were many assembly houses, streets, crossings, streets, restaurants, gambling houses, markets, resting places, flags, festoons, and beautiful parks. All this surrounded the city. In this way, the capital is described. In the capital, there are assembly houses and many squares, many streets, crossings, avenues and streets, many gambling places, markets, and places to rest, all decorated with flags and festoons. The squares are surrounded with railings and are devoid of trees. The heart of the body can be compared to the assembly house, for the living entity is within the heart, along with Paramatma, stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya chaham hidi sannivishto atak smritim jnanam apokananchi. The heart is the center of all remembrance, forgetfulness, and deliberation. In the body, the eyes, ears, and nose are different places of attraction for sense enjoyment. And the streets, for going hither and thither, may be compared to different types of air blowing within the body. The yogic process for controlling the air within the body and the different nerves is called sushumna, the path of liberation. The body is also a resting place, because when the living entity becomes fatigued, it takes rest within the body. The palms and the soles of the feet are compared to flags and festoons. So now text 17. Puryas tu bahyo pavane divya ruma Latakule Nadat Vihangali Kula Kolahala Jalasaye Puryastu Bahyo Pavane Divyadruma Latakule Nadadvi Gangali Kula Kolahala Jalashaye Puryastu Bahyo Pavane Divyadruma Latakule Nadadvi Hagali Kula Kolahala Jalashaye.
Yeah.
Buddha,
Buddha
of that town.
To then.
Bahya Upavane,
the
outside garden. Divya,
very nice.
Druma,
trees.
Lata,
creepers.
Akule,
filled
with.
Nada,
vibrating.
Vihanga,
birds.
Ali,
bees.
Kula,
groups of.
Kolahala,
humming.
Jala Ashaye,
with a lake. On the outskirts of that city were many beautiful trees and creepers encircling a nice lake. Also, surrounding the lake were many groups of birds and bees that were always chanting and humming. Prabhupada, by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Since the body is a great city, there must be various arrangements, such as lakes and gardens, for sense enjoyment. Of the various parts of the body, those which are inside sexual impulses are referred to here indirectly. Because the body has genitals, when the living entity attains the right age, be he man or woman, he becomes agitated by sex impulse. As long as one remains a child, he is not agitated by seeing a beautiful woman. Also, the sense organ are present, unless the age is ripe, there is no sex impulse. The favorable conditions surrounding the sex impulse are compared here to a garden or a nice solitary park. When one sees the opposite sex, naturally the sex impulse increases. It is said that if man in a solitary place does not become agitated upon seeing a woman, he is to be considered a brahmachari. But this practice is almost impossible. The sex impulse is so strong that even by seeing, touching, or thinking, coming into contact with, or even thinking of the opposite sex, even in so many subtle ways one becomes sexually impelled. Consequently, a brahmachari or sannyasi is prohibited to associate with women, especially in a secret place. The Shastras enjoin that one should not even talk to a woman in a secret place, even if she happens to be one's own daughter, sister, or mother. The sex impulse is so strong that even if one is very learned, he becomes agitated in such circumstances. If this is the case, how can a young man in a nice park remain calm and quiet after seeing a beautiful young woman? Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Gayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarnam Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupah Kadam Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimade Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Jinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashitya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vancha Kalpatarupyascha, Kripa Sinubhyevacha, Paditanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namaha. First of all, I want to ask all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially senior Vaishnavas and Pankajangri Prabhu, to give their blessings that I can send something pleasing. Narada Muni continues to tell the story of King Puranjana to another king, Prachina Barhisha, which is basically the persona in this in Puranjana story. It's one of the last stories in Srimad Bhagavatam which actually allegorical, which doesn't factually take place, since this is the only, you know, the only one most probably. And we see the power of Narada Muni. Even when he just starts to present the situation to King Prachina Barishad, and he says that, you see, you do all these sacrifices, but when you kill all these animals, you'll get a result, because it's an act of karma kanda. There are some good results and some bad results as well. And he describes that all these animals will be waiting for you up in the sky with the iron horns, they will pierce you. And King Prachinabari, he is very pious. He immediately agrees. He says, yes, okay, tell me further. Somehow or other, Narada Muni decides to tell the allegorical story. We see in many cases, Narada, persona of Narada Muni is such that just doesn't matter what he's saying. Actually, the person to whom he says becomes transformed. Because he doesn't bring so much positive knowledge about devotional service, spiritual world. He basically preach what is bad in this material world, as a person becomes renounced. And this technique he implies in many cases. Also, the same he did with Brigadi, the hunter. He explains the bad consequences of his activity of half killing the animal. And he also preaches to the sons of Daksha, right, the sons of Daksha, and induce them to remain brahmacharis, and so on and so forth. We see in our situation where people very much convinced about their way of living and not very much willing to hear about their faults or the implications of their activities. The preaching of something positive works better, kind of, you know, not what you're doing wrong and what bad you get, because basically people in general do not want to believe in that something bad will happen to them. And somebody who say something like this will be just, you know, don't bother me, let me live my life. They want to be presented with something positive. And we see that Srila Prabhupada, especially in the beginning of his preaching in the West here, would not talk about rules, regulations. He would just say, chant, dance, take prasadam. He would induce people to take positive alternative. He would even tolerate that people would come to morning programs as an after party from their normal LSD parties or whatever. Prabhupada would tolerate anything and everything because he would know the adhikara, qualification of people in the West is such that it is very difficult to accept direct chastisement or teaching. And we see it. I see for myself, and I know many of people who I know, it is very difficult to accept that you are wrong. So successful preachers, they don't make you feel bad. They will make you feel how you feel better, how you feel good. We see that the same technique is applied by Lord Chaitanya in dealings with Digvijay Pandit. Digvijay Pandit was a great scholar who would go around and he would conquer all the scholars around India. He would be undefeated. And of course, he heard about the glories of Nadia, Navadvip, and the scholars there. So he thought, if I come there and I would defeat everybody there, then there's nobody else for me to defeat. So he coming, he's coming, and he's approaching the side, Lord Chaitanya, Jan Nimai, sitting with his disciples. He approaches the scene, and Lord Chaitanya greets him and says, "Oh, you are the great Digvijay Pandit. You are the great person. We are very fortunate to have you here. Can you please show us your scholarship and your brilliance by composing 100 verses glorifying Mother Ganga?" On the spot, Digvijay Pandit start reciting one after another without any interruption, in a very, very smooth flow, 100 very, very eloquent, beautiful verses. And he feeling very content with what he done. He looks at Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya recites one verse perfectly well, one of these 100 verses, and says, "There's 5 mistakes actually in this verse." And he starts to elaborate one after another. So, but then he says, no, first he praises him, then he praises the poetry, then he would show the discrepancy in the verse. And then, again at the end he says, but anyway, who can compose without such mistakes? It's, even he said in the poetry of Chandidas and Vidyapati you find such mistakes. Problem is, mistakes are not so important when the poetry is glorifying the Supreme Lord. So mistakes are neglected. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, we know Narada Muni says that the literature which glorifies the Supreme Lord is adored by all great souls. Even there can be some mistakes, it's not so important. So he glorifies, so he not hurting the ego, and then disciples start to laugh, you know, because they see the situation. Lord Chaitanya would calm them and say, okay, my dear Pandit, you go home, you think about it, let us meet tomorrow and we discuss. So he gave him a time not to be disgraced. And, of course, he come home, he would pray to Mother Saraswati, and the night Mother Saraswati comes to him and says, how can I appear in front of my husband? I cannot speak in front of my husband. So in this way she lets Digvijay Pandit understand that Lord Chaitanya is actually the Supreme Lord, and he, instead of being ashamed and maybe commit suicide or whatever he could do, he next day surrenders to the Supreme Lord and becomes a great devotee. So this is the way how the expert preacher, and we see Narada Muni is definitely an expert preacher, would present the philosophy to whoever he meets. It's something for us to learn for sure. He describes in these verses he starts to describe the city of where King Puranjana comes across. And Srila Prabhupada describes in the verses that all the description of the city and the lakes and the gardens and everything indicates the enjoyer within the body and different facilities for enjoyment. And these lakes, for example, they represent the facilities for sex enjoyment. Srila Prabhupada elaborates that basically it is very, sex impulse is the strongest impulse in this world, and one should be very careful not to trigger it as much as one can. So the best way not to be in a solitary place with attractive woman, be this, you know, other than one's wife. And this being repeated throughout the Bhagavatam, and such dangers are natural in this world. But we see in Kali Yuga and a situation which we are now, and which preachers and sannyasis, for example, have to preach in, is not exactly the situation which, let's say, Lord Chaitanya would set standard about. And most probably due to his mercy or to Srila Prabhupada's mercy, somehow the movement can be carried on because there is a higher principle behind it. Lord Chaitanya would be very strong about this principle, and we know the story of Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas would be a very beloved devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He was seen for Lord Chaitanya. And once Bhagavan Acharya would invite Lord Chaitanya for lunch, and he wanted to cook. Lord Chaitanya would go for several devotees in Jagannath Puri out of schedule. He would have a certain schedule of going for lunch, but to Bhagavan Acharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and I think one another devotee, Brahmananda Bharati, he would come, and Gadadhar Pandit, he would come without, you know, if they invite him, he would come. They would not need to be waiting in line. So Bhagavan Acharya would be one of these devotees. And he invited Lord Chaitanya, and he wanted to cook very nice preparations for Lord Chaitanya. And he asked Chota Haridas to go and beg very nice rice from Madhavi Devi, who was a very elderly lady, sister of Shikhi Mahiti, and she would be considered a half a person who would be a very intimate associate, very intimate devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Three of them would be Ramananda Roy, Swarup Damodar, and Shikhi Mahiti and his wife Madhavi Devi. So she would be a very exalted lady. Naturally, Chota Haridas would go. He begged rice, brought it back. Bhagavan Acharya would cook this rice. Lord Chaitanya came, and when he was eating, he would praise this rice. Such a wonderful preparation, such a wonderful rice. Where you got it? Bhagavan Acharya said, I got it from Madhavi Devi. And Lord Chaitanya said, and who went to beg from her? He says, Chota Haridas went. Lord Chaitanya just said, you are very fortunate that you could offer such a rice to Lord Krishna. That's it. But then after his lunch, after some time, he would say, please, he would approach his devotees and say, please, I don't want to see Chota Haridas anymore, please. Don't let him come near me. Devotees were very surprised. And they asked Lord Chaitanya, you know, why such a severe punishment? And he said, I don't want to see the face of somebody in a renounced order of life who intimately associates with women. Devotees were, they brought this news to Chota Haridas, and Chota Haridas would fast for 3 days. Then they would go to Lord Chaitanya and say, it's such a minor offense, actually. It was an elderly lady, he came on the order of another devotee to beg rice. And I think Paramananda Puri would go to him and say, please forgive, he's such a close devotee of yours. And Lord Chaitanya said, Govinda, pick up my sins, we go into Alalana. It's okay, you can say whatever you want, I don't mind, but I will not stay here anymore. So somehow or other they convinced Lord Chaitanya to stay. And Swarup Damodara told to Chota Haridas, he said, you know, Lord is supremely independent. He does whatever he wants. We cannot really understand why, but you just wait. Definitely he will be merciful to you. You please stop your fast and eat. So he induced Chota Haridas to eat. And like this, 1 year would pass, Chota Haridas would come and look at Lord Chaitanya whenever he comes to Jagannath Temple from a distant place. He would not come near. But no sign of Lord showing mercy would come. And after 1 year of being in such a situation, Chota Haridas decided to go to Prayag and commit suicide in the confluence of Ganga and Yamuna. So he did so. And after he did so, he would attain his spiritual form. And he would come and sing for Lord Chaitanya. Would be attain a beautiful form of Gandharva. Of Gandharva-like. He was not Gandharva. He would be a spiritual being. But he would be a singer. He would come and sing for Lord Chaitanya. And sometimes devotees would hear this singing. So some of them were speculating that maybe Chota Haridas committed suicide and he became a ghost. And Swarup Damodara said, it's not possible. Chota Haridas would chant Hare Krishna throughout his own life, throughout his whole life. And he was such a dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So it is not possible that he would become a ghost. Then one devotee from Prayag came to Bengal and he told the story what happened in Prayag, that Chota Haridas left his body. Then next time Lord Chaitanya, after 2 years, he would ask, now bring Chota Haridas. But nobody knew where he is. Then devotees came from Bengal, I think Srivastakur, and he asked Lord Chaitanya, where's Chota Haridas? Lord Chaitanya said that everybody attains the results of his activities. So then Srivastakur told the how Chota Haridas left his body. Lord Chaitanya smiled very mildly because he knew all the way what had happened. And he did so to teach his devotees by the example of his very dearmost devotee in sannyasi. And after that, it is said that devotees of Lord Chaitanya became so much afraid to speak to women that they would not speak to women even in dreams. So there was a certain principle which Lord Chaitanya wanted to impress upon all his intimate devotees. He himself would be very strict. He would never speak about women, he would never speak to women. Once one devotee of his, out of ecstasy, brought his wife, devotee would have a sweet shop, and Lord Chaitanya would often come and take sweets from him and when he was a small boy. Then as Yatra came from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, then this devotee would come and he said everybody would bring their wives in particular pilgrimage, but all devotees would come close to Lord Chaitanya and all wives would pay obeisance from very far. This devotee was very simple. He didn't know the regulations, and he would say, "Dear Nimai, I am the same person, this is my wife." And Lord Chaitanya would accept it because of spontaneous love of this devotee. So he would not be against it, but it was emphasized by Krishnadas and Kaviraj Goswami that it was a really exceptional case when a woman would approach. Chaitanya Bhagavat Vrindavan Das Thakur said that even as Nimai, even when he was householder and before that time, he would be a very joyful person, cutting jokes left and right, but he would never joke in the company of a woman, he would never speak with women, and he would be very, very strict. So he came, his external mission was to establish Sankirtana movement and to show example of a perfect sannyasi. So therefore, he was like that. But we know another sannyasi, another renounced person, Haridas Thakur, who would be tested two times by intimate association of a woman, and not just woman with a very particular intention. Ramachandra Khan, who was a very envious ruler, he was very disturbed by the popularity of Srila Haridas Thakur, by his influence, and he wanted to denigrate him. So he would approach prostitutes and say, "Who of you can come and seduce Haridas Thakur?" So one young girl volunteered, and she said, "In 3 days, I would seduce Haridas Thakur." And he said, "Okay, I will send the guard with you. So as soon as Haridas Thakur and you, he approaches you and he comes and, we announce his bad character and we disgrace him." She said, "Please don't send the guard. Now let me enjoy with him for 2 days, and on the third night, you can take him away." So like this, she would come. She would approach the place where Haridas Thakur would chant the holy name. She would pay obeisances to Tulasi Devi, circumambulate Tulasi Devi. She came and started displaying very feminine postures, and she would start speaking in a very sweet voice, a very sweet language. "That my dear Haridas, you are such a young and beautiful man, and I'm also a young girl, so let us enjoy." Srila Prabhupada very clearly says that, Lord Chaitanya also says, that even if I think of woman or I see the wooden form of a woman, my mind becomes agitated. That was not the case with Haridas Thakur. Not only speaking with the woman, he became agitated. Not only seeing his form, he became agitated. Not only being directly approached for sexual intercourse, he would not become agitated. He would be so much absorbed in nectar of chanting of the holy name, plus he would not even become angry with the lady. Kind of, "Don't bother me and go to other place." He would feel deep compassion. So he said, "This is another type of preaching. Preaching which we cannot imitate. Preaching which really comes on some other level. Very, very deep compassion and love for every living entity." And because of this compassion, he didn't went away, he stayed, and he said, he didn't say, "I'm sannyasi, please have understanding. I cannot have any relationship with women." He said, "No problem. I will definitely grant your wish. But I have this vow upon me. I chant 300,000 names every day, and today I didn't manage to finish them. So you sit here as long as I finish. I will fulfill all your desires." So we don't know if he chanted 300,000 names or he chanted extra little more these days. It is not clear. But he chanted throughout the night, and he chanted until the sun will come. So the lady saw, okay, sun came up, he didn't finish. She paid her obeisance, she left. Same happened next day. And on the third day, then, by the power of Srila Haridas Thakur's pure chanting, her heart became transformed. Not only it became transformed like that, you know, little she understood that she was wrong and she offended sadhu. Actually, love of God manifested in her heart by the influence of Haridas Thakur. And of course, she fell in his lotus feet. And she would admit what had happened and beg forgiveness. And Srila Haridas Thakur said that, actually, I knew your intention from the very beginning. I knew everything. I knew intention of Ramachandra Khan. I knew everything. But because I wanted to show mercy to you, I didn't leave the same day. I stayed here. Now I will go, and you stay here, and you chant as many names as I do. She became very great sadhu. She shaved up her head, put her white garments, and she became a celebrated Vaishnava, you know? This is the influence of Vaishnava, from prostitute to topmost Vaishnava. It is very fortunate to get such association. We can get such association, we should grab it and stay at least for 3 days. Although it is said, Lava Madra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Koya. We should seek the association of such devotees as much as we can. Another such devotee, and another instance would be that Maya Devi herself would come. In the same scenario. In 3 days she would just admit I was a Maya Devi and kind of glorify Haridas Thakur. We see, with this pastime, Lord Chaitanya and Haridas Thakur wanted to emphasize what are actually the means of counteracting our sex desire or any desires, any material desires. We cannot run away from them. We can regulate them in different ways, sannyasis and brahmacharis in one way, vihasas in another way. It cannot be denied, it cannot be neglected, it cannot be shown off. You cannot fight it, you cannot be angry with it, you cannot blame Matajis for this, Matajis cannot blame men for this. It is like this in this material world. It is because of our desire to enjoy here that this kind of enjoyment is given to us. The facility is to forget Krishna. And the only remedy, really, we can follow the regulation, we can try to be as strict as we can, but unless we bring something positive in our life, and this is absorb our mind with Krishna, his forms, qualities, his pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and ultimately, first and foremost, his holy name, then there's no chance we can be free from shackles of material life. Yes, there are some sannyasi who maybe transgress one sex desire, gross sex desire, or there's subtle sex desire, become one with the Lord. It's all just manifestation of egoistic desire to enjoy. And we can never transcend it. Maya is very strong. Unless we take full shelter in the holy name, in the pastimes, form, qualities of the Lord. I wanted to read to you. Just read 8th verse of Nectar of Instruction, the essence of all advice. And I read it many times before. And as we know, the nature of Srila Prabhupada's books and his writings is a site that is full of nectar, and every time you approach it, according to your aspirations or your mindset, ultimately according to one's advancement, one sees things which one didn't see before. So I think I saw a very obvious scene which I should have seen long ago, but because I'm in such tamaguna, I never really saw it. But because of mercy of Sri Mayapur Dham and because of mercy of all the Vaishnavas and association, there's some glimpse came on, I became inspired, and I felt maybe the biggest contribution I could do today is just read you this verse and purport. Maybe, I do not know, because it's Srila Prabhupada who's speaking. Tannama rupa charitari sukirtananu smityo kramena rasanama nasini yoja tishtam rajeda danuragi jananu gami kalam na yet akila mityu padesha sara. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Braj, Golokam Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow the footsteps of Lord's beloved devotees, who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, one has to train the mind to become his friend. So, we need to train the mind to become one our friend. So how we do it, Srila Prabhupada explained. The Krishna consciousness movement is specially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only in this life, but also many, many lives of past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for a conditioned soul. Students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychological changes. So basically what is implicated here is that we should stop collect impressions which are not good for us. I mean, we have enough of them. So what we do, in all our spare time, we collect impressions. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada advised 24 hours one should engage in devotional service. We hear very often about engaging in one's occupational duty, following Varna, Ashrama, dovetailing these things to the service of the Lord. It is very important, but it is, so to say, what we do when we cannot primarily engage our mind, because it is very difficult to engage mind indirectly, to understand how, when I, you know, buy a new car, how this car is actually Krishna and Krishna's energy. It is very right. It is so right to think like this. But unfortunately, very rare people can think like this, because mind is very polluted. It is actually Krishna consciousness to think and see everything in connection with Krishna. It is Krishna consciousness, and it's very difficult to make such endeavors in a stage of practicing devotional service, sadhana bhakti. The sadhana bhakti is where our shravanam kirtanam really comes into play. So mind should greedily collect impressions, stuff mind with lilas, pastimes, qualities, with the holy name, whatever our minds agrees at the moment. We know our mind is very disagreeable, for example, to maybe chant the whole day. Then you give mind maybe some pastimes, then you give the mind some philosophy, then you give the mind some engagement in practical devotional service. So we need to regulate the mind. Srila Prabhupada gave a perfect program, starting with the morning, going throughout the day with practical service, evening. It's applicable for everybody, even for grihasthas. So this is program where we should not neglect to put positive impressions in our mind. So Srila Prabhupada continues, Yamyam vapi smaran bhavam, tyajachante kale varam, tam tam evaiti kandiyasadatat bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when one quits his body, this state he will attain without fail. This is Bhagavad Gita 8:6. At the time of day, the mind and intelligence of a living entity create a subtle form of a certain type of body for the next life. If the mind suddenly seeks of something not very congenial, one has to take corresponding birth in the next life. On the other hand, if one can think of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transferred to the spiritual world, the Loka Vrindavan. This process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be able to remember anything other than, unable to remember anything other than Krishna. So basically, pushing away with, like a milk you put in the, Srila Prabhupada gave an example, the milk you pour in a glass of ink, and ink will be pushed away, and it will be substituted with milk. So we don't add any more ink, we try not to watch mundane movies, hear mundane songs or whatever, although maybe mind is attracted to this, but we should give mind another food. And through proper association, we should get some taste for spiritual things, and by these impressions, push out mundane impressions from our consciousness. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and to taste only Krishna prasad. Srila Rupa Goswami further advises Tishthan Vrajevan should live in Vrindavan or any part of Rajabhumi. Rajabhumi, or the land of Vrindavan, is supposed to be 84 kroshas in area. One krosha equals to 2 square miles. When one makes Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. In this way, one should always think of Krishna and his pastimes. This is further elucidated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.9.4. Krishnam smaran janam chasya preshtam nija samihitam tat tat katha ratas charsau kuryat vasam vraje sada. A devotee should always reside in transcendental realm vraja and always engage in Krishna smaranam janam chasya preshtam, the remembrance of Sri Krishna and his beloved associates. By following the footsteps of such associates and by entering under their eternal guidance, one can acquire the intense desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, Srila Goswami states in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.2.9.5, Seva Sataka Rupina Siddha Rupena Chatrahi Tad Bhava Lupsina Karya Raja Lakarnu Sarata. In the transcendental realm of Raja, one should serve the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, with a feeling similar to that of his associates, and one should place himself under direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable both in stage of sadhana, spiritual practices executed, while in a stage of bondage, and in stage of sadhya, God realization, when one is a siddha purusha, a spiritually perfect soul. So we see Srila Prabhupada makes one very important comment here. Following the footsteps of Krishna's associates, meditating on Krishna's pastimes, is applicable in both stages, in a stage of bondage as well. So we hear very much. And Srila Prabhupada in another place, in Nectar of Devotion, he says that such practice is actually unapplicable until one goes beyond stage of anapanivritti. And we know Srila Prabhupada has a purpose. We see in his books, we find sometimes contradictory instructions, so to say contradictory instructions, because he would emphasize one point which would mean one thing, and he would emphasize another point which would emphasize the practice. And prohibition would be that devotees would not take this practice cheaply. And the danger is that the practice will be taken very cheaply. Srila Prabhupada further in this purport actually describes the process of Raganuga Bhakti, starting with Shravana Dasha, Varana Dasha, and so on. It's a very exalted practice, but at the same time, this practice which we should integrate within our life. Without this practice, would be very difficult to keep mind on the spiritual practice, plus to really understand sambandha gyan, to understand relationship. Relationship, we have our eternal relationship with Krishna, and to understand that we are not this body is not enough, and to understand I am spirit soul also not enough. Actually, we see that in our spiritual program, we have a certain prayers which are there, and we can be, of course, mindless of what we are doing every morning when we chant Shiradika Matavayora Para, Madhurya Lila Guna Rupa Namna, Pratiksha Nasvadana Lopasya Vande Guru Shri Charnana Gunda. Next, Nikunja Yuna Ratikele Sidi Yalapir, Yuktira Pekshaniya, Tatrati Dakshya Dati Valapasya, Vande Guru Shri Charnana Gunda. So actually, we meditate every morning on Guru serving in his spiritual form very expertly to the divine couple, Shishirada and Krishna. We chant and we pray every morning to the Tulasi Dev. Please make me your maidservant and please let me follow the footsteps of Sakis. So either we do not know what we are doing, or if we are not qualified, we cannot offer such prayers. Or if we offer these prayers sincerely, and Srila Prabhupada gave us these prayers, we have to integrate this mood into our sadhana and to understand why we are doing it, with what intention, and what is our qualification. We know during Srila Prabhupada's time there was a Gopi Baba Club in Los Angeles. Srila Prabhupada would be very angry. Also, there is nothing wrong with Gopi Baba. And throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is emphasized that the mood of the Gopi is the highest stage, is the highest trust, is the highest way of executing devotional service. But if it is mixed with pride, immaturity, and arrogance of neophyte devotee, then this following the footsteps of the gopis defeats its purpose. Actually, then we are again acting out of the false ego, and we just doing some manodharma, thinking I am so much advanced. And so Srila Prabhupada would, on the one hand, he would encourage us and he would give us all the amazing literature. He would encourage us to read Goswami literature. In his Chaitanya Charitamrita, very often he would say, you need to, you must read books of Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatas Goswami, Jiva Goswami. On the other hand, plus he gave us Krishna book in the very beginning. At the same time he said, you never go to the 10th canto unless you go through the 9th canto. So, therefore we need guru, we need expert guidance, we need association of senior devotees who would let us very, in a fine way, in a very custom-suited ways for our individual self, where we are, to guide us through all these intricacies of devotion in life. And one who denies one and emphasizes the other, and other way around, is not helping us in a spiritual life. We can become either very dry for many years and do not get any taste because we may be afraid to approach topics which will full of nectar and which are recommended by Srila Rupa Goswami, which are recommended by Srila Prabhupada. On the other hand, the danger is to become sahaja, take things very cheaply and think I'm very advanced. I don't need any rules and regulations. I'm already spontaneously attracted to whatever, to Rupa Manjari or to Lalita Sakhi, and I'm their eternal associate. And I at the same time can be impelled by sex desire, impelled by all other nonsense material desires, and because of my arrogance can think it's okay. So spiritual life is like a razor blade, Srila Prabhupada very often emphasizes. I just wanted to bring that this Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said Ashtalila Smarana is actually our sin. It's not for Sahajas. It is our thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would bring his book Bhajana Rahasya. He would speak about Ashtalila Smarana, about thinking about the pastime of the Lord throughout the day, meditating on them while chanting the holy name. This is actually the practice to deepen our chanting, to get more connected. So we should, in our life, give some consideration to all these things, and also the dangers of taking these things cheaply. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. So if there are some comments, please. Ratra Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Nitai Gaura Premananda.